Hello, Fosdem. This is Sebastian Serva speaking. I'm Technical Product Manager at Open Source Technology Center at Huawei. Today, I will be hosting also Ettore Chimenti, who is our partner's representative, and he will also talk about his impression on the project. So today, we are going both talk about Oniro as an open source starter for fast-paced IoT environments and give some retrospective to the project. So what's in the scope? I will start about with history and the project itself. How did it started? Our product-driven approach, system work packages and processes used, our lessons learned, and what next in the project and a partner's impression. So who we are? We are 18-month young or old project. We are partner-driven organization. We are part of Eclipse Foundation, and team members are scattered across Europe and India. So at the moment we have around 20 core team members and around 100 community members. What else? Multicultural environment. We live in 16 different countries, talking natively different languages, yet working full-time on daily basis toward a common goal. And what's the goal? And the goal is called Oniro. And what's Oniro then? Oniro is an Eclipse Foundation top-level project focused on reducing fragmentation and avoiding vendor lock-in in the consumer and IoT industry, led by a working group and of which Huawei is an active member. Of course, we are first project, and Oniro's project license is Apache 2.0. How did it start? So Huawei, as one of the funding members, made this initial investment to this project together with other members. So who are these other members? These are Linaro, Neutech, Seco, Synesthesia. You might have heard of those. Each partner in this working group has the same and equal voice and rights. And what's important also here, also share responsibility. So for example, Seco is in charge of hardware roadmap for the project. From the start, we are focused on license clearance, IP compliance, transparency, upstream first principle. So here are a few slides about work organization. How do we work? We believe in Scrum and apply as much of it as is possible. So Scrum itself is based on six core principles. One of them is empirical process control, and I will talk to shortly about this one. So why it's so important for us? Because it says about transparency, inspection, adaptation. And what does it mean to us, actually? So transparency is transparent information flow, open work culture, project vision, releases, definitions of done. For inspection, it's recurring backlog reviews, peer reviews, demoing, and product reviews during review meetings. And adaptation itself is retro meetings, daily, weekly meetings, and monitoring. Work organization. What we took from Scrum else? So events like review, planning, retro. I will talk about the retro very soon. Time boxing for events, weekly instead of daily. So that was interesting because along the way we discovered that we are way too diverse to have one, a daily meeting with all the members or even with smaller team. So instead of we discovered that weekly place is much better for us. So we meet on a weekly basis talking about cross-team things and syncing up, actually. So velocity measurements, those still in hours rather than in points. For that, this is something that we will have to focus on for the closest future. So self-organizing, self-learning, and self-adjustment, that stems also from Scrum. And value-based prioritization of the backlog and iterative development. So, as I mentioned, here is our retro example. So, we are using Easy Retro for that. And we have four columns. One is called What Went Well. The second is How to Improve. And the third is blockers that each of the members might have had. And the fourth one is action items. So those items are created by you, by team members before the meeting, and they are later voted. So each of the voted item is then sorted, and we deal with the three or four the most important. So, for example, how to improve. So in the first case, seven people voted. That's why we try to address and solve or improve over this one. And it resulted in some action items that are either assigned to a team or some team members. So now I'd like to switch to a bit to talk about our product-driven approach. So in project management field, it's a common triangle that is called scope, time, budget. Basically, it means that if there is a change to scope, time or budget might suffer or might be adjusted. However, it's not the case for us because we have product mindset. It basically means that factors like users adoption, retention, revenue, cost savings, more creativity, number of designs are used for us to measure our success, and we basically care for this. So regarding development systems, we are using GitLab and used Open Project, and I'd like to share some lights. I'd like to share some thoughts on this. So regarding GitLab, it's de facto a standard for software development and a tool very close to developers and development itself. For Open Project, it's easy to implement new workflows, easy to manage user rights and manage work items. Both support REST API. So what are cons for GitLab? And it's very subjective, so take it a pinch of salt. So for GitLab, missing custom fields, features like list, extra value placeholders, and missing custom enforced workflows that we saw, for example, in Open Project. Of course, we can do a lot of things with labels, but it's not that efficient, I think, as it is in Open Project. So for Open Project, another great system to use. However, it was another system that we had to maintain. And the cons was disjoint a bit from our mainstream development, because the mainstream development happened in GitLab. So here are some modules, Python modules used for while integrating those systems, while working on those. I will talk about later. So this is our first flow. Actually, I like it very much. However, it was purely based on Open Project. Anyway, we had a specification phase, we had a design phase, we had a testing phase, and we also had a showing phase for the flows, for lean requirements flow, and this was the end. The problem with that flow was it was purely based on Open Project. So during the development, architects or development team had to switch between Open Project and GitLab, and it caused some delays and problems and so on. So guess what? Yeah, with the Scrum spirit and empirical approach, we had to redesign it. We decided to redesign it. So the second flow was a bit more streamlined. So we have who, we had actions and happens in. We have phases here. And each phase has a naming, and you can see also where it was based. I don't want to go into details now because that's too much, but general again, it was a mix of Open Project and GitLab, and we decided to streamline again to avoid delays and so on while development, during the development. So guess what? Yeah, we had to redesign it. So the third one is based on purely on GitLab, and we have for the work items column we have initiatives. Each of the initiatives has a template, and a custom flow is auto-labeled and is smart. And Epic has a GitLab Epic flow, and each of the item, the issue in the GitLab has can be task, can be story, bug or enhancement. For the planning column, we have at the highest level we have a roadmap that is time based, will be auto generated, and we are planning to have it auto generated, and the timing is annual. So for the release is time based, is tested, is automated, timing is quarter. And iteration is time-based and timing is monthly. So for the scope, roadmaps and releases is something that product management team cares, and this is the place for product management vacuum, and here is for engineering. So release is a place where both team have to cooperate, and the responsibilities overlap. I would like to talk also about GitLab requirements a bit. So GitLab requirement is a feature that GitLab started development like a few years ago. And also in the software engineering, requirement is something that is testable with a clear result and passed or fail. So it's also long-lived and has a testing procedure. So we along the way we discovered that it's not not necessarily all the high level working packages has the this feature. So we split technical requirements, or we're going to split technical requirements and that live in the source code from those high level initiatives. Some of the ideas we came up with in context, in this context, and these are prototypes, so might be inspiring for you. So regarding labels hygiene, and we saw this concept, you know, I think initially on the GitLab forum, and that was the original idea, was to do some extra work around labels to make sure that they are coherent. And we thought that we started trying adjusting this idea to maybe to do some testings around the requirements, maybe some extra administrative work and so on. For auto labels, so we also prototype on auto labeling based on some the content of the issues, the content of the titles and the description of the issues. So with keywords, and there is a mapping that can be used in order to assign the labels. The third one prototype was about drawing dependency graphs of work items. Here is for the lock door lock blueprint, and see what are dependencies for door lock, and just for visualization and understanding the architecture. So blueprint. What's blueprint? Blueprint is our reference design, and we use it to make real product behavior, and in order and this is all to allow adopters and producers to avoid some initial problems and simply to speed up development. And we see it also as a minimum viable products. So we have four blueprints. One of them is called Smart Panel Blueprint. For now, we are using it with Home Assistant. Then we have door lock that uses solenoid and keypad in order to put some pins, and that can, you know, open or close the solenoid and lock. We have also the transparent gateway, and that is used with Arduino Nano, and you can regard it as a edge router for us. And last but not least, vending machine. And vending machine is to mimic real vending machine behavior. You can order products, you can see the total sum and so on. And if you're interested in blueprints, you can navigate to this site and have more in-depth information. But also during the FOSDEM 22, there are more talks on this and dedicated with technical focus. So for us, it's important that anyone can join and extend with new blueprints. We see this as a new way of the system adoption and growth. Lessons learned, takeaways for us. So not to be afraid of changes if they are business justified. So if you wait with some changes, usually it costs more and more. So that's our first lesson. The second is to demo as early as possible. That comes from Scrum, so I will not focus on this. Be explicit rather than implicit. That's for communication. As I mentioned, we are based in different countries, different cultures, different languages, so it's better to be explicit. Usually, so listen to your customers, and both internal and external. Be brave and challenge yourself. And love what you do and look positively into the future. So yeah, just have fun. This is all about. So what next for Oniro? For the project, setting a further merging with Eclipse Foundation to become API compatible with Open Harmony. More partners onboarding, extend a list of blueprints and design wins. So now I'd like to move to the last part of this talk. I'm going to ask Ettore about problems, how they were solved while working on Oniro or participating to Oniro. What was the biggest challenge? Was there any? What was new for you, Ettore or Seco? And what next? Let me switch to Ettore now.
Thanks, Seba, for introducing me. I'm Ettore Chimenti. I'm in charge of the hardware enablement for the Seco boards. So I will answer your questions right away. So which problems and how they were solved in the previous year of developing the Oniro project? So in the Seco team, initially we were too few people, so we had to add more people on the team simply with a different area of our expertise. This helped us to achieve and solve all the tasks. We ran into a problem where the BSP support for the IMX8 board was unavailable. So we waited until the release and then we added a specific support for it. So lately we got some technical issues regarding the boards. So we added the dedicated support for solving the problems. We teamed up with the Oniro team and we solved it. So what was the biggest challenges in the last year that we faced? So I think there was all on the same level. So I will list them all. So I think we achieved a support for heterogeneous architectures, one for Intel, one for the MX8. So they are both in the Oniro platform. Right now, he achieved an important security certification for the ARM board. It's called ARM System Ready. So this will add security features into the board. And we got an important involvement in the Oniro project, led by the Eclipse Foundation. And lastly, we helped to design and deliver a blueprint for the vending machine blueprint. So really proud of it. Well, so what's new for us? Involvement in an open source project like Oniro gave us a chance to look into management of a worldwide open source project, and we learned a lot about it. And of course, we are taking part in the software defragmentation of industrial and consumer IoT devices. For us, we are experts in industrial IoT is a big challenge. Will simplify costs of maintenance of an open operating system that run into our boards, and will save money to the customers. And lastly, what's next? Next goal is the integration with the data orchestration platform named Astarte that we are developing, and this will power the device management on the board. So the board will gather data from sensors and will send it to the cloud. And next goal is the implementation of OTA updates, so we can deliver updates for security for new functions. And lastly, we want to add a new reference board, the CE31, that is based on the Rockchip. It's still evaluating, but we want to bring Oniro on the most number of boards in our catalogs. Thank you. Join us on oniroproject.org and the astarte.cloud sites for knowing more about the projects. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you, Ettore. Thank you, Ettore, for this presentation and your participation to on your project. And I'm looking forward for our new adventures on your project. So I'd like to talk shortly about references. So if you're interested in and project documentation and the project itself, and you can navigate to this link. We have two mailing lists. One is dedicated for development. The second is dedicated for working group itself. So again, it's about the transparency and how we are seeing it. Community chat. You can find details here. And if you want to contact us directly, you should go to this link. So again, I'd like to thank you, FOSDEM organizers, for allowing us to talk here. It was our pleasure to be here, me and Torres. And yeah, you are more than welcome to join us. And if any questions, I will be happy to answer after the talk. Thank you very much. Bye.